Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 406. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways that you can receive one. Please specify whether you want a tape copy or a CD. It's absolutely free. The postage and handling is taken care of as well. We have some singing, music. I've got some strong message and some Bible reading and testimonies tonight. But let's all fellowship with the Lord. Those of us that are born again of the Spirit, let's approach the throne boldly, because we have the King of Kings in us and the Lord of Lords, the King of Heaven, the King of everything, the King of the entire universe. Father, we thank you for your giving us the ability to approach you and to talk to you and to, as Adam did originally, and tell his wife and he sinned. We thank you, Lord, that you, when we pray and we ask, if we're keeping your commandments, you give us the things that we ask for. And the primary thing that I ask for, Lord, always is that you are near me. You're not only near me, but that you continue being in me. And I know that you will, because I keep your commandments. I ask that you take over this service. Let every word that is said be directed to me and through me from heaven, from you, Lord God, that the kingdom of heaven will be multiplied like the mustard seed, where it grows and grows and grows until the whole kingdom of heaven is established on this earth, that you're the king of, and that everyone will obey the king, as the covenant tells us we must. If we break covenant, if we sin, then even one sin, we've broken them all. Lord, do this, that the people hear from the Lord today, from you, and that the souls, that many souls, or even one soul, or however many you desire, Lord, that they'll be saved, and the entire church will be strengthened. I ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, praise the Lord. Now, Elvis Presley was a very good friend of mine. Susie and I prayed him through. I was in his house up on Peruga Drive in Bel Air with Susie and others when I gave him my testimony, because until that time he had not heard of my testimony. He knew that I was a manager of talent, and someone that expanded people's careers and did expansion of people's products and so on in the world. And I became very friendly with Elvis. I knew of him and about him, and we communicated. His people would come down and talked to me when I was doing a promotion for a singer named Bobby Jameson. And to me, Elvis Presley is one of the very best gospel singers that ever lived. I mean, I just love the way that he sings. And some people say, well, he took drugs and so on and so forth. Yeah, he did. But I tell you, the man was saved. I know that for sure. He told me that he would never have been able to make it through the different persecutions that he had received if he didn't read the Bible. He told me he read the Bible daily, and he studied it, and he knew when I was talking about different subjects in the Bible, he knew what I was talking about, so I knew without a doubt that he was a Bible believer. And, Ralph Carmichael, I played his version of Reach Out to Jesus, his choir or his orchestra, and his arrangement, and he's actually the one that wrote it, the song Reach Out to Jesus. And here's Elvis Presley with his version of Reach Out to Jesus with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet. The Lord. Very good, Elvis. Am I saying that Elvis went to him? I have no idea. I'm not the judge. All I know is that if he remained a drug addict and didn't repent before he went out to meet the Lord, well, then no, he didn't make it. Didn't make any difference whether he supported our church, Sue and my church. He did. He tithed and gave offerings to us. And this is something that really infuriated the government, because they started coming against him because he was singing gospel songs in his concerts. And they said that we didn't want to come here, you know, to people don't come to see Elvis to hear gospel music or to hear the Stamps and J.D. singing gospel songs. But I do know one thing. There was a young man in our church named Ed Mick. And his dad committed suicide, and he was a drug peddler in Hollywood, California. And his sister wanted to come into the church, and his mother was furious of a woman that this is what they said that caused the husband to commit suicide. Of course, people that commit suicide are in hell right away, unless God gets to them before they go out. And I know that sometimes God does that, so don't be so quick to judge, because I've seen with my very eyes people that have committed suicide and they're still alive, such as Ed Mick's sister. The mother pulled her out of the church. She just loved the church. She loved the sisters in the church. She loved the messages. And we, Sue and I, drove out to Memphis, and then the town, can't exactly remember the name of the town, it's very close to Memphis, Tennessee, but she was in the Memphis hospital. She was still alive. And we flew Ed, her brother, who was in our congregation, the man that ran the dope den, and he got saved through my testimony and Susie's preaching. And Sue and I tried to get in to talk to her before she went on. She put a bullet right in her brain. And they wouldn't let us in, but they did let Ed in. And he started talking to her, and the Lord came down in a fury and said, "Be quiet. Don't talk. I am dealing with her." She loved the church so much that she and was so despondent because her mother took her out of the church that she committed suicide. And all of a sudden, there were tears coming out of her eyes because Jesus was talking to her and telling her. I don't know what he was telling her, but I'm sure he was explaining to her what she had done was a terrible sin. And all of a sudden, Ed said that she was in a coma, and she rose right up in her bed, lifting her hands up with a big smile on her face, and then she just caved in and hit the bed and gave up the ghost. So I know that she was saved. Amen. She wouldn't have had a smile. She saw Jesus and repented. And he was showing her probably what good she could have done if she just would have been patient. And that's the thing with a lot of people that today that are committing suicide and telling doctors and nurses to help them die so that they can get out of pain. Instead of calling on ministers such as myself, that will go into the room and lead them to the Lord and tell them of his healing. Because that's part of the kingdom of heaven, is that, as a matter of fact, you know, Jesus in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew never told us, you know, that the kingdom of heaven will come when he comes back. If you read the third verse, you'll see that the disciples were asking him when he will return. Read that just so that people will know that they didn't ask when is the kingdom of heaven coming to earth, because Jesus preached that the kingdom of heaven is already here. The kingdom of heaven doesn't come with observation. It comes within. Because it doesn't make any difference, you know. We Christians, the true Christians, not Catholics that call themselves Christians. Catholics can become Christians. They can be born again of the Spirit, but people can't tell when they look at us. I know, like, when I'm in courtrooms and people are giving me dirty looks, like officers that are supposed to be of the law, and I'm talking, but they are of the Roman canon law. They're looking at me with such hatred in their eyes, they can't see that the kingdom of heaven is in me. I just look like an ordinary man, or maybe even worse than that. The flesh that God has chosen to bring about the gospel has always astounded people, because we look squeaky clean, all right, as John Peeler said, but we don't look squeaky clean. Sometimes, you know, people say I look like I'm from the mafia. Sometimes I look like a biker, they say, or, you know, a tough guy. But really, you know, Jesus is living in me. The kingdom of heaven is there. So the Lord says it doesn't come with observation. The kingdom of heaven does not come with observation. Read what the disciples said to Jesus in the third verse of chapter 24, Matthew.
And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?
It doesn't say when will the kingdom of heaven come, does it?
No.
Because the kingdom of heaven, folks, exists right here on earth right now. And it keeps increasing every day, every time somebody becomes born again of the Spirit, the kingdom of heaven increases. It's like a mustard seed, just like Jesus likened himself as unto a mustard seed, because he's just one of hundreds of millions of people that would be saved, that would start out the kingdom of heaven. He said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen?
Amen.
Therefore, repent. And John the Baptist said that as well. So the kingdom of heaven is right here on earth, and you can't observe it in people. It comes without observation. If, looked as though we were already in the kingdom of heaven, well, then we'd look perfect and beautiful. We wouldn't age. There wouldn't be a gray hair on your head. We'd be young forever and healed completely. But the kingdom of heaven, there's many, many different benefits of being in the kingdom. The people of the United States, I've heard a preacher from one of the islands preaching about that the kingdom of heaven comes without observation as well. But he says that the kingdom of heaven, the pattern was the Roman Catholic cult. And, sir, you are absolutely false. That's no pattern. The Jewish kingdom, the Hebrew kingdom, the kingdom that Saul and David were kings over, were the kingdom. All people benefited from the kingdom. The Roman Catholic cult is the exact opposite of the kingdom of heaven. Satan is an imitator, and he tried to make it look as though it were the kingdom, a pattern, and this man fell for it. And so he's preaching false doctrine, and so I'm going to read a little bit from the book of Jude to show you that this book is all about false prophets, where it's talking about their condemnation, because they're evil men, horribly evil, and that they're filled with licentiousness or lasciviousness. They're wanton people. They're lewd. You hear some of these preachers, and they're saying very, very many lewd and licentious or lascivious things in their pulpit. And, if you get the feeling of lust in a service or licentiousness, wantonness, lewdness, lustfulness, tending a service that tends to produce voluptuousness or lewd emotions, licentiousness, lecherous, characterized also by license, unrestrained lust, lawlessness, unrestrained by any law of God or morality, immoral, lewd, licentious, offensive against chastity, unrestrained by strict rules. They just don't pay any attention to rules. They make up their own, and they love it when you can see the people, in their congregations, over-emotional, jumping up and down and wiggling their hips. And, this is false prophets that is in the book of Jude that tells you about them. And to beware of them, because they will lead you into hell. And many people have been uprooted by these people. But now we have some, I'm going to get into this further in the message tonight. But we do have some testimonies here. And where's the first one from?
From Concepcion, Chile.
Okay.
It's translated from Spanish. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, may the peace and love of our Lord Jesus Christ be with each and every one of you that labor in the ministry.
Now, again, I want to say that I do not solicit letters. I love it when they come in, but it's just people. My literature is in many languages, and there's distributors all over the world, and they distribute them, and people are so touched because they can feel the Spirit of the Lord entering in them, and they know that the lascivious or licentious nature that they had before has gone. And they want to keep it that way, and therefore they read the Bible and receive it, because the Bible is spirit and it's life. And they realize that the Bible said that this is the new covenant, and that the Lord signed it with his blood. And that people, if they break one commandment, they've broken them all. This is established through the blood of Jesus. And so therefore, when you say, yes, Lord, I repent of my sins, the Lord says, okay, you're born again now. You were born once into the world, now you're born again. And so you can't be born again and born again. I've been saying this in the last few messages. So it's saying that we are here in this world now, and you've become a member of the kingdom of heaven. Now, every kingdom has a king, all right? I've heard a couple preachers preach on that, and that is absolutely true. All throughout the Bible, it says that the disciples, that Jesus, John the Baptist, the disciples were preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it comes out with observation that the kingdom of heaven is in you, and no one can possibly tell it, because we just look like normal human beings. And we are, but we have the power of God in us. We're God men and God women. We're certainly humans, just like Jesus was, but he also had God in him. Amen?
Amen.
And so he is the king of the kingdom of heaven. And so he has, every kingdom has its rules. And Jesus has his rule because he's the king of the entire universe. And if you break the rules, he, the king of heaven, and the king of this earth, the kingdom of heaven here on this earth, tells us what we need to continue doing if we wish to remain in his kingdom. All right? Now, the people of the United States, you know, Canada and England, they have a queen, but it's still a kingdom. It's the UK. What do they call that? The United Kingdom? Amen?
Amen.
The UK. Okay, I live there, and it's a different whole set of rules there. If anyone needs healing in the UK and in Canada, you just you don't pay any money for it. You just go to a doctor, because the doctors are paid by the government. They're sent a check every month, and most of them get around 80,000 pounds a year, which amounts to about $100,000, and they live very well. They don't make they can own a home. I just saw one of them on television, this propaganda film that Michael Moore made. He keeps making propaganda films for the Vatican. Now, the Vatican has conditioned the UK and the different kingdoms to where the government takes care of it. Everybody has the mutual benefits of the kingdom. Just like in Jesus' kingdom, you don't have to pay any money for healing either. And because you just come to him, if you're really born again of the Spirit and you're keeping his commandments, you just call out to the king of the entire universe. Boom! There's the healing. Amen?
Amen?
That's why I'm absolutely sure that if these people that are committing suicide and they're starving babies to death because of the fact that they might be mongoloid or the parents don't want them, they have a license in this United States and in several countries, depending on who the king is in other countries, or the queen, and they can put young children to death. And they call them fetuses. Even this young woman that was just killed by not her husband, It was the one that impregnated her with the two-year-old, the boy that's now 2 years old. And also, she was pregnant 9 months with another child of his. He was married to another woman and had impregnated three others, according to what I've heard on the news. But, these people that they're killing right in front of our eyes, that doesn't happen. There's murders in kingdoms, of course. But anyone that would murder would not any longer be a part of that kingdom. They'd be put in prison, amen, if it were true justice, if they were going according to the law of God. And the same thing, now the law of God has not been done away with, because the King of the Universe tells us that he didn't come to destroy the law of the kingdom, for God's sake. How crazy could you be? Even England goes by the Commonwealth, and Canada, they ask the people in this Michael Moore propaganda film, because they're trying to downgrade, and they're doing a very good job of it, the United States of America, and the simple people that they call, they sell their souls. They were talking about somebody that cut their finger, two fingers off, the tip of their two fingers. And the hospital said, well, it'll be $60,000 for the one finger, and I think it was $12,000 or $14,000 for the other one. And Michael Moore goes to Canada and also to England and says, well, how much would it charge you? And he says, nothing. I was in London, too, and I visited a doctor, not because of anything that was wrong with me, I said, okay, I just wanted to talk to you and ask you about these things. I said, how much is it? Nothing. I says, how can it be nothing? Don't you? No, the government pays this chap, old chap. I said, well, okay. How does that work? Well, the world government has, it's this fourth kingdom. What they do is they want everybody to have the commonwealth of it, but it's a lawless kingdom. They are buying your soul, not with a bowl of porridge, food stamps, and every so often they pass out cheese to you. You sell your soul for cheese and medical help when they want you to be totally reliant on this fourth kingdom, the world kingdom, and the commonwealth of it. But you don't know that you're selling your soul for it, because here they are also murdering, first-degree murder with the children, these babies, unborn babies, and even when they're 9 months long. And they let murderers go free, and somebody that does a minor crime, they give them 93 lifetimes and 99 years. It's just, these judges are insane. And the people that ruled this in this fourth kingdom, the Bible says that they're insane. They're absolutely insane. And that's why everybody's wondering, what's going on? We're so fearful of this fourth kingdom, which God calls a beast, and they're broke, because no one could afford $60,000 to... I mean, there's rich people that could, but the average person cannot afford $72,000 to put the tip of two fingers on. So they move to Canada and to the UK because of the commonwealth of this fourth kingdom, the beast, and they sell their soul so that they can benefit from the commonwealth. Well, in the kingdom of heaven, there's also a commonwealth, and we get healing free of charge as well. Yeah. Amen. We don't have to go to a doctor and stand in line for hours, or we don't have to get Medicaid, or we don't have to get food stamps or anything like that, because we also benefit from the commonwealth of the kingdom of God. Because God, Lord Jesus, is a good king. Amen?
Amen.
And he supplies our every need. But first, you have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things, the whole commonwealth of the kingdom of heaven, will be yours. But first, the kingdom of heaven must dwell in you. Amen?
Amen.
You have to recognize Jesus as the king of the universe, and he demands it. You have to worship the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And so, if you do that, well, then you receive all the benefits of the kingdom. But if you're in, say, London, and you don't, you thumb your nose at the Queen, and you commit crimes that are, according to their law, against their law, we go to prison. You do not receive the benefits. And it's the same thing with the kingdom of heaven. If you are sinning, or you're considering, you're just aborting children, or you yourself have chosen to have an abortion, and you're doing it ignorantly, well, you can be forgiven for it, and then ask for Christ to forgive you and invite him, who is the king of the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven to enter you, and you'll be a new creature, and you'll be healed, and you'll go along with the rules and regulations of the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
So the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Jesus likens himself unto a little mustard seed, just like what Ezekiel saw the church as the wheel, and then Jesus was the little wheel within the wheel. And when you preach the gospel, what happens? Each person that is born again of the Spirit is like adding to the kingdom until the fullness of the kingdom, until the fullness of the stature of Christ. In other words, you receive him as king, and you receive his kingdom and the benefits of the commonwealth of his kingdom. You understand?
Amen.
Okay, and so by doing so, you're healed. The Lord will provide food, lodging, water, everything for you. Amen?
Amen.
And it's like throwing yeast. Read that in the book of Luke. Chapter 13, verses 18 through 21. This is how the kingdom of heaven multiplies here on earth. Go ahead, Jesus talking.
Then said he.
Then said Jesus.
Unto what is the kingdom of God like?
The kingdom of heaven, the Lord says, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, he wants his kingdom here on earth, and the kingdom has already been sown into the world. John the Baptist came preaching the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus did as well, and then the disciples did as well. All right?
Amen.
Okay, so the kingdom of heaven is increased as more people believe. One person at a time, or 10 at a time, or 3,000 at a time, as it was on the day of Pentecost. That really got the kingdom of heaven going. That's where the kingdom of heaven was, or the church, which is definitely, they all have the kingdom of heaven in them. Well, can the kingdom of heaven be taken out of you, or can you leave the kingdom? Sure. Just like you can leave the UK or Canada, and you won't get any of the benefits. Amen?
Amen.
And the Bible plainly talks that there is a falling away from God's kingdom because they refuse to obey the king's rules and regulations, the law of God. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill it and to show you that you can keep the law in your human flesh when the kingdom of God is in you. But he says you must continue on worshiping the King of Heaven, and not this beast government, or the Pope, or anyone else on the face of this earth. But we have to give our attention, if we want the commonwealth, or all the benefits of the Kingdom of Heaven, we must obey his rules. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, his law, he tells you, to stay away from licentiousness and lasciviousness, all these things. And to don't commit adultery or fornication, don't be a homosexual. Because This kingdom of God does not allow homosexuality in it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, or no drunkard shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Now this false government, this Antichrist, it's actually a real government, but it's a satanic government. They allow homosexuality, and they just say it's a sin to preach again. Well, I don't believe in this kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
I'm of the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
That's what got on their nerves when Jesus was preaching the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And John the Baptist, they cut John's head off. They cut the Apostle Paul's head off. They nailed Jesus to a cross. They nailed Peter to the cross upside down because they want to be homosexuals and they don't want anybody to disturb them or to preach any other rules than the rules of the Antichrist. So we're living in the Antichrist kingdom here on earth, but yet we're sitting with Christ in heavenly places by the Spirit. We're here to promote and to expand the kingdom of God. Read it.
Unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it?
Yeah, what is it like, or how can you explain it, Jesus said? He says, go ahead.
It is like a grain of mustard seed.
It's like a small thing. Jesus is the wheel, the little wheel within the wheel, in the midst of the church. Okay? Or the seven candlesticks or lampstands, which is the church. And Christ, Jesus, the King of His kingdom, dwells in the midst of us. Amen?
Amen?
He actually resides in us with His Father by the Spirit. And so if we want to remain in His kingdom, we have to keep the rules that He has said in His Word. Now read, continue what He says here.
It is like a grain of mustard
seed. Yeah, it starts out small with Jesus. He was the first of the kingdom of heaven. And then John the Baptist, amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Which a man took and cast into his garden. And it grew.
Yeah, you have to see, like, our souls are like the Garden of Eden. When this kingdom of heaven comes into it, we have to guard it against any satanic thing that comes in. If this fourth beast kingdom tells you that it's all right to sin, nobody's perfect, these false preachers, which Jude talks about, well, then you have to reject that, because the King of the kingdom of heaven will not allow you to dwell in the kingdom and receive any of its benefits. If you receive any of this false, satanic, licentious, lascivious, wanton, crude world government is preaching today in the media, which is Satan's voice. Okay, continue.
And it grew and waxed a great tree.
Yeah, so the kingdom of heaven grows every time somebody gets saved. Amen?
Amen.
As the kingdom of heaven comes in, pretty soon, it's like a lot of people get saved, but not all of them are keeping the rules of the King of the universe and the rules of His kingdom. And therefore, there's a great falling away in these last days. And it looks like they're Christians, but I've heard that every time a big band of these Christians move into hotels in different cities, that the sale of pornography in the hotels, the pornographic magazines go up, and booze. The sale of booze, that's against the rules. This pornography and lust and all these different things is against the laws of God, of Christ, the King, and His kingdom. He's the King of the universe, and He's the one we have to face up to when we expire, when our souls leave our bodies. And so you can't have, he said, one sin on your soul or you will not be in His kingdom. And the other, it's not really an alternative, but the only other place to go would be in the pit of hell in the lake of fire.
Amen.
Okay, now go ahead.
And the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it.
Right, so then what? So even there'll be peace with every, there's birds in heaven. And there's animals in heaven. You know, Jesus is coming back on a horse. Amen?
Amen.
And all of his all the saints are coming back on horses. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal.
Yeah. Now, if you've ever baked anything, you know that it's just real small. But then you put yeast in there, and all of a sudden you put it near something warm, like an oven or something, and it pops, it rises up. Amen?
Amen.
So it starts out small with just one, the one that's the seed. Jesus likened himself as a seed that falls into the ground, and it'll rise up and bring many other seeds if he will not commit a sin. And he never did, and therefore we have a multitude of people that know his word. He came into the world, God came into the world in the flesh, and sowed his word into the king, into this world, this fourth kingdom, which has been going for all those years as well. The Roman soldiers are the ones that crucified him. Okay?
Amen.
Now, he didn't look like he was, the kingdom of heaven was in him. Otherwise, they would not have crucified him. Amen?
Amen.
Or John the Baptist cut his head off, or Paul, or Peter, any of them. They wouldn't have killed him. And they wouldn't have been throwing people, bringing false accusations against Christians today. Nor would they be throwing them in prison, and nor would they have murdered them like they do all over the world. Because we don't look like it. Just, the kingdom of heaven doesn't come with observation. It's the kingdom of heaven is within. And so it's like meal, and the leaven is put in there like yeast, and all of a sudden here it expands. Then we'll keep reading.
It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened.
The 3 measures of meal? Would that be the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? That's 3. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. All right, now, what else do you have? Well, we could also go to 1 Corinthians 4:20. Go ahead.
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power.
Yes, because, you know, you could talk all day long. All kinds of people say they're Christians, but when the kingdom of heaven is in you, God gives signs that the kingdom of heaven is in you, because you can lay hands on people and pray and they'll be healed. Not like some, you know, there's people that lay, they say there's all kinds of healings there, but they wind up in healing lines the next day. They get over emotional, but it isn't an emotional thing, a word game, but it is just actual power. If they really get saved, they're not going to be in a healing line tomorrow. Amen?
Amen.
They're going to be healed and saved the next day. Amen?
Amen.
And the next day, and the next day, every day. As long as they continue on keeping the rules of the King of the universe, as long as they keep the kingdom of heaven in them. You let any poison enter in, this licentiousness, or you stop keeping the commandments of the kingdom, and you're out. Okay, because the Lord is not going to come back and die again. He says, behold, I am he who is dead, and now I'm alive forevermore. That means he's not going to die again for your sins. And you can just read the Bible, and I've given many scriptures on this, written many pieces of literature in regard to the same thing. Then go ahead.
That was the end of that one.
Okay, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
Oh, right. Amen. The kingdom of God. The Lord says the kingdom, his disciples didn't say, well, when will the kingdom of God come? They says, no, when will your coming be? Amen?
Amen.
And the end of time. It'll be when the fullness of the kingdom of heaven is established here on earth, the fullness. When the very last soul comes into the kingdom here on earth, it's curtains for the rest of you people out there that refuse to become united with the King of Kings, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Almighty God, the King of the universe, who created everything that is, ever will be. And if you deny him. So 1 Corinthians 6, 9, read it again.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor abusers of themselves with mankind
shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Because he doesn't allow, the king doesn't allow adulterers and fornicators and filthy dreamers and all these to enter his kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you started out, you got saved, and you got filled with the Spirit, and the kingdom of heaven entered you, and you tasted the good word of God, and you tasted the kingdom of God and all of its benefits, the commonwealth, and then you decide to turn back, read Romans chapter 1. I'm not going to ask you to do it. You read it for yourself because we're just about out of time here. And you'll see that God turns these kind of people in over to a reprobate mind. Amen?
Amen.
And in the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says that he sends the people, these people, strong delusions and really makes them believe a lie because they reject God's kingdom. They reject the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and his rules and of the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
So you have to start obeying the rules. Now, if you don't know these things before, if you have done these things in ignorance, then repent. Because the Lord will forgive sins of ignorance. But if you don't, if you continue on lusting and lascivious thoughts and all these things, you're doomed. Okay? Now, Galatians 5:21.
Envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings.
Well, drunkenness, the beast kingdom says that drunkenness is a disease. God would, and the Lord would never send you to hell or keep you out of the kingdom if you had a disease. He'd heal that disease. Amen?
Amen.
So drunkenness is not a disease, it's a sin. Okay? So all the false prophets in the world are telling you that it's a disease and we should be merciful to him. Well, we are merciful by telling you the truth of it. Amen?
Amen.
So this is coming from the Bible. Read it again.
Envyings, murderers.
You can't envy people. Okay?
Drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not
enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Rules. This is New Testament, folks. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Colossians 4:11.
And Jesus, which is called Justice.
This is another Jesus. You're not supposed to call your children Jesus. That is a sin. There's only one real Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Messiah, Savior, King of the whole universe. Then what?
Who are of the circumcision.
In other words, a Jewish. Then what?
These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been...
unto the kingdom of God, which is being produced on a daily basis, one soul at a time. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me.
Right, so we have to comfort one another.
Amen.
When poor Elvis died, I mean, it's comforting to me to have seen Ed Mick's sister being forgiven in that last moment. But don't think that now you know these things, it wouldn't be ignorance for you to go ahead and commit suicide or to hire somebody or plead with somebody to help you commit suicide. What you need, what you must do if you want to get into the kingdom of heaven is to ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and ask him to, when he comes into your heart, the kingdom of heaven enters your heart too. It's a spiritual thing. You can't see it. It's without observation. People look at you and still, you know, just treat you. Maybe like if you've been treated like a dog before, you may still be treated like a dog by the unsaved. but still, because they can't see the kingdom of God in you, so you shouldn't be discouraged. Amen?
Amen.
Because you know that the kingdom of heaven is in you and that you belong to the commonwealth. All things are possible if you're born again of the Spirit, if you're a member of the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
And all the healing is yours, prosperity is yours. I'm not talking, he's talking about, these people today talking about prosperity. We're going to get a new car. You're going to get a big house, a mansion. Oh, forget that. That isn't what it's all about. He says, dearly beloved, I would that you prosper as your souls prosper. Amen?
Amen.
Prosper that the kingdom of heaven gets built up and built into expands like from a grain of mustard seed into this huge tree or this huge bowl of meal. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Well, is that it now, Dave?
Yes.
Okay, now, you know, you should read the book of Jude. It tells you about all these different sins that people commit and these false prophets that are prophesying these false things that, you know, Jesus had a different kind of blood than we do. He was made out of the same flesh, bone, and blood that we are. Amen?
Amen.
And you doubt that? Doubt the Lord and you're damned. You're doubting the King that created everything in the universe? Actually, you have to bow down before him. You have to worship this king. This isn't some, pope or anything. People bow down before this guy. He's just he's a nothing. He's the Antichrist. But we must worship Christ because he's the king of the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
And he's the king of the everlasting kingdom. And if you'd like to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, all you need to do to start out is just starting out because we have to continue on. It's a process. We have to run the race. We have to start the race, continue it to the end. And so all you need to do is start out by saying this prayer. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy former sins. And even if you don't think you committed filthy sins in the past, you're still a sinner. You have to have the King of Kings and the Kingdom of Heaven dwelling in you. Amen?
Amen.
There's no going around that. Because to go try to go around it, you're like a thief or liars going straight into hell and then the lake of fire, because no thieves or liars shall enter the Kingdom of Heaven. You're like unto a thief and a liar, okay? There's only one name given in the entire universe whereby you can be saved, and that's Christ Jesus. So say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my sins away, in former sins away, in your precious blood. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my eternal soul. Lord, thank you. Thank and praise the Lord now, and give him all the glory, for he is the King of the universe and the Savior of all of our souls, if we believe and if we worship him, if we're washed in his blood, and he dwells within us, the kingdom of heaven. Now, Sharon, tell them four different ways that they can receive a copy of this tape or CD, number 406.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505. Or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Tune in tomorrow for another powerful message of the Lord, right from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll make this up.
Amen.
This is, some half-wit a writer that was on speed or something didn't make this up. It's not cunningly devised fables. It's the truth, and the only truth in the universe. Here I am now to sing his name, Christ's name, to be worshipped is wonderful.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great shepherd, a rock of all. Jesus, my Lord. His name is wonderful, Jesus.